How to Be Happy podcast episode number 7, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your mind and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Yeah, man. Welcome, everybody, to the How to Be Happy podcast with Jared and Emily Akers. This is I love that music.
It is nice.
It always reminds me of, being somewhere sunny. Mm-hmm. But it's always sunny in our world, right?
Yep.
All right, this is, I'm Jared Akers.
Except when it's not.
Yeah? And you are?
Emily.
Yeah, that's right. This is the How to Be Happy podcast, episode number 7, cruising right along here. Today, our topic is going to be on relationships, which is a fan favorite, I believe. I don't know. But it's effective communication and control issues. So, well, I think you want to start off and kind of tell the story. I don't know if you want
to... Well, every week I try to think of...
Keep the names for the innocent or something.
Yeah. But we'll keep it. We'll keep it G-rated.
Explain what kind of brought this up.
I was in a situation where there was a girl talking about another girl who was out in the parking lot, and she was quite concerned with the fact that she was with someone other than the guy that she's supposed to be engaged to.
Right.
And she jumped on the motorcycle and drove off, and I said, I asked if he was a good kid, what's he like? And she said...
And you're talking to her friend that's inside.
Right.
And you're watching this.
We're actually standing outside.
Oh, okay.
At the time. And she was so upset with her for the choices that she's making.
Right.
And she says, I give her advice and she doesn't take it. And it just makes me so mad. And I said, is this a good kid? Is he a nice boy? And she was telling me no, that he does ecstasy or something. I think that's a drug. But anyway, and I said, oh, so maybe really you're concerned that if she's going to hang around this guy, that she may do drugs and then you can't be friends with her.
Ah, right.
So maybe that's why you're upset, rather than her taking your advice. You don't want to lose a friend. And I said, why don't you tell her that instead of that she shouldn't be seeing this guy? Tell her how you feel, rather than try to control her, which is impossible.
Right.
And by giving someone advice that, having the expectation they're going to take it is probably the wrong thing to do.
Right.
You can give advice all day long, but, it's certainly up to the individual if they want to take it or not.
Well, one of the kind of aspects in that whole concept that I've often liked was, attraction rather than promotion. And
right.
And I always tell people or try to think of it like, when was the last time that you had like a core belief or a value or something in your soul that you knew was to be true or that you were living a certain way or doing certain things that you believed in and someone expressed their opinion or, their perspective on it and tried to change your mind about something? And
right.
Probably never.
Yeah.
How someone said, okay, well, whether it's politics or whatever it is, but by just them saying something, you're like, oh, okay, you're right. I'm going to completely change the way I live my life and everything I believe in because of what you just said.
Right.
So,
exactly.
It never happens.
We're all on our own journey.
Yeah.
And it's such an easier life to live when you can allow someone just to follow their own path. You can maybe disagree with it, but that's something you just keep to yourself. It's certainly their life to live. And
yeah, well, in my experience, when I've kind of went through my transformation, whatever, and kind of lived my life a certain way, and there's been people in my past that I really valued their input and stuff like that, but then, I kind of made this turning point of this transition, and I had people come to me and say, how did you get to where you're at, or how did you do that? You seem like you have a lot of peace and happiness, and, I'm just curious, and so then I was able to share with them my experience, and not
right.
give them advice, but share what had worked for me. And I think there's a lot more, incentive on their part, and they're open-minded and willing to take action when it's their idea. know, with, but you can't, but you, you also can't have the expectation that I'm going to act this way. And then they're going to, you know, cause I've done that in the past relationships where, you know, maybe I think she needs to work out more or do something, you know? And so I start working out all the time and thinking she's going to see that I'm working out and then she's going to work out. And, you know, so my motives were not pure.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you got to have your motives in the right place.
Right. And being, as my father used to say, keep your eyes on your own plate.
Yeah.
Every night at dinner, he said that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there were six of us and we were all telling on each other.
You know, talking about food, excuse me, I was thinking about, I brought home some cupcakes the other day. And one of the cupcakes, we have this thing at work where we have every month, there's a girl that works there that her like parents own a bakery or something. So we have the you know, celebrate the birthdays and she brings in these amazing cakes and these cupcakes. And so I always try to like sneak a few extra or one extra to bring home and contraband, you know, and bring it home to my wife and or to you. And one of them had this peanut butter frosting like flavored.
It's still down there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so after I got done running, I'm sitting in the hot tub and I'm thinking about this peanut butter frosting and meditating, you know, and I was thinking about how a lot of that stuff is artificial flavors, you know, but I don't really understand how you could get an artificial flavored
from peanut butter
something from something. It's like,
how
can it not have, if it's cherry flavored, but artificial flavors, how could it have the flavor of cherry if it didn't come from that said thing?
No idea. Well, there are extracts. Which,
yeah, but didn't it originally come from the cherry?
Right. Or, is an extract from whatever it is.
I was sharing this with a girl at work, and she's like, dude, you're blowing your mind. I was like, well,
it is a dangerous place.
Yeah.
Blowing your mind.
You're blowing your mind, dude.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
how'd that feel?
It felt good. Yeah.
Were you tired afterwards?
I was. Mm. You know, I often, counselor tell me once that my mind is a dangerous neighborhood, and if I go in there, don't stay long, and if I do, make sure I take someone with me.
Yeah,
you know, so
right.
So you all had the pleasure of going with me just then, so that's it. Or the concept we were talking about.
Interestingly, you thought about the peanut butter, but you never followed through with
eating it.
I figured you were going to talk about how good it was,
how that relates to
it's still there.
Control
so
issues.
Obviously, you got over it.
Or the idea of. Or when people say, I couldn't imagine. You know, and we've talked about this.
Yeah, well, sure you can.
Certainly you can imagine something.
We can imagine.
That's what makes having opposable thumbs so great, right? We can imagine things, but I don't know. Anyway, so getting back to the topic of effective communication and control issues, I had down here exactly, well, you had talked about that story.
Right.
It talks about what's at the root of the communication problem. You were saying, get to the emotion.
Right.
They're not understanding me. They're not listening. Mm-hmm. Well, get to the root of that. Why are you trying to change their mind? Like your friend was like, right. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my friend.
Well, it was definitely a selfish motive. And I do think she cares about her and wants the best for her. But I think ultimately she wants the best for herself.
Right.
She doesn't want to lose the friendship, which is admirable.
Admirable. I like that. I was going
to
say that.
And I really think that if she were to present it in that way, that the other girl might listen. So, I don't know. Just try to be honest about what you're feeling rather than telling someone what they should or shouldn't do. You know, tell them how you feel when they do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's really all you can do. You can share your feelings about it, but it's up to them how they're going to behave.
There was a book once that said there was an exercise in it, and I can't remember which one it was now that I was reading, where you write down, I feel blank because of this. I feel, you know, I think it might have been something about being a better communicator as a man or something, because men share information and women share feelings or emotions. I'm collecting data.
Well, we collect data too.
Yeah.
We just do it in an emotional way.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm pretty emotional.
Think.
Yeah. Well, we watched that house episode recently where the guy used to be like this corporate coach, you know, and would go in and just tell people what they needed to hear. And then he had like this, he got in a bar fight and got his junk in a beat up on or something. And it messed up with his testosterone level. And so he became more emotional. And then he became this like self-help guru and you know, got in touch with his emotional side. And a lot of his clients and stuff were women and stuff, because he, you know, changed as a person and everything. And
then he was in the hospital and they discovered that he had low testosterone, so they gave him an injection.
Yeah, and then he started being kind of aggressive again. And then
the aggressive guy came back, and his wife didn't like it.
Yeah.
At all. And she's like, this isn't the man I married.
Yeah, and then, but then he realized that kind of, and he said, I don't want to take it anymore. I liked the person that I had become. Yeah. So maybe I got knocked in the junk.
That's possible. I say we leave it the way it is.
Yeah, I don't know. The process worked for me. Yeah. I don't think it.
Yeah. We don't need a test.
Yeah, well, it certainly is a lot easier, and it makes my life a heck of a lot.
Well, there is the fact that men are full of testosterone generally, and that is the aggressive hormone.
Yeah.
And women are full of estrogen, which is the emotional hormone. There is a scientific reason why we are the way we are. It doesn't mean that women aren't capable of being aggressive, nor men capable of being emotional.
When I first met Duncan and we were going through this whole process and, you know, and learning about myself and getting in touch with my emotions and all these things, I said, you know, I want to thank you for making me a better woman.
I bet he loved that.
Yeah, I was like, you know, and anyway, I'm proud of that I'm in touch with my emotions.
Yeah, I am too.
And it helps me through everything. Yeah. You know, it makes life easier.
That's pretty great.
And so then I have down here control, you know, and what...
It's a facade.
What is it?
It's a facade. There's no such thing. The only control that you truly have is over yourself.
Yes.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anytime you're frustrated with someone else, you got to think, am I trying to change them?
Yeah. Well, and I think of most of that, and we had talked about this too in previous relationships with control issues and things like that, that were, you know, it's a self-esteem thing that we're trying to control them to make them be a certain way, or...
Well, quite possibly. Because they're exhibiting behaviors that you know that you have that you don't like about yourself.
Oh, the whole projection kind
of
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if something frustrates you in someone else, take a good hard look at yourself, because more than likely you have that character.
Yeah.
Somewhere inside of you.
Well, and other people are, in that respect, other people are often our best teachers about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, I read somewhere recently or had a conversation with someone who they weren't sure if they quite bought into that idea of when I see something in someone else, that it means that there's something I need to look at in myself. I don't know if I think I agree with that, but I think that there's also a lot to it as far as, well maybe it's not I see
I mean,
that
you could take that a step
myself.
Further and say, you know, it frustrates me when people commit crimes like against others, you know,
well, yeah,
like rape
example.
And murder.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a rapist or murderer.
But if they're talking about something or acting a certain way that makes me uncomfortable, then that is certainly an indicator that I can look inside myself for why does that make me uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. you know, and at least investigate it or be aware of it and look into it. So let's see, I have down here situations, life outcomes, control is futile.
Mm.
Like
pretty much.
I had in my email series that I send out to people, one of the things I talk about, and one of them is stress and dealing with traffic. And, you know, if I'm getting stressed out in traffic, it means that I'm driving very selfishly. I think that, you know, I need to get somewhere and be, you know, where I need to go. And I'm more important than everyone else. And that I really, you know, the only thing I have control over is me and, you know, and that whole thing. I forgot where that was going, but
I see it as opportunities to clean the dashboard.
Yeah.
Or organize the glove box, or.
Man, I'm really full.
Yeah, we had an awesome dinner tonight.
Yeah, I got Kate's barbecue, barbecued ribs.
So good.
That's one big ass ham.
When'd you hear that?
I don't know. It was some. I think it was a Saturday Night Live skit or something. It was.
Your memory is so amazing.
It's Barry White talking about ham. That's a big ass ham. So it's always good. I had the combo, ham and beef combo, and some ribs. And
yeah, the ribs were, yeah, I expected more from them, but.
Yeah, I thought they were good.
Should just stick with what we know.
They stuck to my ribs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's
plenty left over.
Well, we talked about that. Lack of faith, humility. Maybe if you're trying to control things, that you are lacking some type of faith.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in what?
And humility.
Yeah.
Both.
I'm a big believer in, well, in my case, I didn't have the, you know, the shining bush, the burning bush.
Oh.
I didn't have
a little
the,
different.
Yeah, that's a different process.
Well, I guess if it were burning,
yeah,
it could be shiny.
Right, but,
in a way, but
I didn't wake up one day and boom, you know, I had this faith, unshakable faith. It was more kind of a faith that had developed and grown out of experience, you know, so I do this thing right, you know, I work through these emotions and I do the next right thing and I do the right thing in this moment and try to do something for somebody else, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, the next moment or the next minute or the next day, I feel better about myself. Or even going through like things like with the death of my father and things like that. You know, I go through it and I experience it that I can come out on the other side. Okay. So then I have faith going forward, you know, and I also have faith in God and a lot of
and
other
experience.
Things. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I'm big on the whole practicality of stuff, but
yeah,
I have down here one of my favorite things.
Okay,
is to be understanding
rather than understood.
Yes,
that bears repeating.
Be understanding rather than understood.
Yeah,
and that actually comes from the prayer of Saint Francis, which I don't know. I have down here. It's a great
favorite prayer.
It is, you know, it's a good model of how to live. But so if you're familiar with that, look it up.
Yeah.
I have it here.
If you're not familiar with it, look it up.
Yeah.
If you're familiar, you won't need to look it up.
Yeah. But it's a good kind of model.
It's in
to live
that
by.
Book.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is, what about communication? So.
Well, I think that going back to the little scenario that I witnessed today, you know, she readily admitted that, yes, I am afraid that we're not going to be able to be friends because she's going to start hanging out with this druggie. And
well, you don't know he was a druggie. I mean,
yeah, she'd already decided that he was.
Well, okay.
So, you know, that's sad. I mean, she did get in touch with her emotions. I hope that she decides to share them with her.
Yeah.
Or that's all they're going to be is her emotions. You know, if she shares them with the other girl, you know, they may come to an understanding and they may not, but at least she'll have that off her chest. She won't.
Well, yeah. And put it out there and allow her to take action off of it. And I'd written something quite a while ago about developing communication skills accidentally on purpose. And it was kind of like, I can never really communicate very well in my previous life because I was very narcissistic and, you know, every situation was, well, how is this going to affect me? You know, what's in it for me? And I wasn't a bad person, but that's just the way I viewed. That's the only way I really knew how to live. So then I went through the deal, you know, and I got to know myself and I learned how to feel my emotions, identify what they were, you know, why am I, you know, what's at the root of this? Well, it's fear, you know, why? And then as I got to know my own emotions, that made me more capable of being open and feeling other people's emotions. And so I knew how to communicate with myself in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could feel those energies or something.
Feel the empathy for others.
Yeah. And it was kind of like now when I communicate, it's more like an energy and something that's, I can feel something coming from their heart and their soul.
Well, I had a situation about a month and a half ago where I was in an appointment with a lady, and we were talking actually about this podcast, and she got really excited, and all of a sudden she just started sharing out of nowhere things that she then said she's never shared with
anyone.
You know, anyone other than family or close friends ever in her life.
Well, you have that
and
energy about you.
I was thinking about that today and thinking, you know, when someone shares something intimate that you know is a huge, like, secret on their part, it makes me, in any case, want to share my most inner secrets as well. It's right. It's almost like the level of trust that I have for someone else increases when they share with me. You know, that I guess that's kind of the observation I was wanting to make. You know, the more you offer up, the more you have to gain.
Yeah, but there's also a good balance there because
it's pretty neat.
You know, my mom's the same way, and I'm the same way. I give way too much information sometimes, but I don't know. Maybe I think
that people are drawn to you for that.
But
reason.
I just like diarrhea of the mouth sometimes about myself.
Not both have that.
More about my experiences and stuff, I guess. But and sometimes it's a little TMI, I think. But I mean, when I first met you, I mean,
I love it. We're the same way.
Yeah.
Basically, we both talk a lot.
But we listen.
Yeah.
Too. You know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's important, you know, but I think once you really know yourself and are emotionally connected with yourself, you can listen and hear what someone else is saying and relate to it because you know that same emotion in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can relate to it and have empathy. And I think that was kind of what I was missing in communicating for so long was I was more concerned about what's in it for me and I got to change this person's mind. So then it validates my point of view, and then I'm going to be liked and everything's okay.
Mm, yeah. Wow.
So what are some practical tips that you would suggest for becoming a good communicator?
You have to spend some time alone and figure out, you know, who you are, pretty much. I mean, you can't really share it if you don't know who you are. So,
I'd say at the root of it is getting in touch with your emotions and
mm-hmm.
and
knowing that it's okay what you're feeling. I remember early on in our relationship, I was freaking out about something and then I felt really stupid. And
what was it you were freaking out about?
I think when you were taking voice lessons, I felt like the teacher. You'd come home and I think you're going to tell me about what you learned in class, and basically it's been like half or more than half the class just talking to this girl about her son or about whatever that you guys got really along. And I'm like, these classes are like 100 and something.
Yeah, I was taking vocal lessons.
$150 for an hour, and half of it you're spending talking about her stuff, and it just didn't seem professional to me, and I was uncomfortable. I thought maybe she saw in you what I see in you, and maybe she was flirting with you. Yeah. And then I felt completely stupid when I said it. But the reason I felt stupid is because I was at that point, and in hindsight, I'm looking back and recognizing I became vulnerable. When I shared with you my insecurity and put it out there for you to judge or see, I felt naked. Not literally naked, but emotionally naked.
I saw you naked.
You saw me naked. That was another time.
Yeah.
So I think it's uncomfortable. And so then we'll make apologies and say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That's really stupid. But you made a comment. You said, nothing you feel is stupid. If you feel it, then it's a good thing. You know, it's not stupid.
Well, thank God you can feel.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then you explain, you know, you said, yeah, I do need to probably, you know, get her back on track more. And
well, it was a mutual thing. I mean, I was sharing my life story.
Yeah, but you're paying her $150 an hour. It's like...
to teach me how to sing.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, but...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird. But who am I to decide
how
you should
excited about
spend
sharing.
Your hour or right. however long you had if you wanted to pay her the money to talk, then...
Yeah, I was going
to
be
people do that with psychologists and psychiatrists.
Artist.
Yeah.
Then I just paid someone else to do the demo of my song.
Yeah, it was pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It is.
I'll get back to that later.
I was going to say something about tips on... we were talking about jealousy and control. And
what do you think jealousy is all about?
Self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Lack thereof.
Yes.
I agree.
I concur.
Yeah.
I don't
think so too.
Get jealous really so much, but I do a little bit.
Good. When's the last time you were jealous?
Hmm. I don't recall.
Hmm.
I get jealous sometimes when you have to go out and get the dog all the time.
You do?
Well,
you're jealous of the dog?
Well, she's like out there and she wants to be outside.
No, she wants me to come get her.
You're out there trying to get her to come in. And I'm like, maybe it's just that I'm like, okay, I want to watch this TV show. And she's out there looking for the dog.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
She's mentally damaged, I think.
Well, she understands me. The dog.
Not my wife.
I'm the dog whisperer.
Yeah. She's coming around, but.
She is.
I used to get really in a previous relationship, I used to get really, really jealous of her cats.
Oh, because so this is a serial jealousy.
It could be because she showed these cats so much love and emotion.
Ah.
And I was like, why does she not?
So now we're getting to the root of the problem.
Why does she not rub me behind the ears like that? Or
I do rub you behind the ears.
You do. You know, that's not, I don't feel that.
You're not
that
jealous
with you,
of that.
You know? I mean, because you would scratch my belly if I wanted you to.
I would.
Yeah.
And she's really funny how she'll kind of put her leg up, like, show you where to pet her.
Right here. This is where I want it.
Yep.
Yeah.
She can never get enough. Well,
so I think, yeah, jealousy is definitely an esteem issue.
It's just a relationship killer. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Well, but some women like, you know, men that are
jealous. I just
don't.
I feel like jealousy is right in there with the whole control.
Well, that's
controlling personality. It's all part of the same thinking.
Wanting to control the situation so that you feel safe and secure.
Basically, when you're jealous, you're telling the person that you don't trust them.
Right.
That's it, in a nutshell. But that's what the person hears. And so, you know, many just go ahead and do whatever they're being accused of, even if they weren't in the first place. Because I figure if I'm going to be accused of it, I might as well be doing it.
Well, that's
either that or they're smart enough to just get away from the relationship.
Yeah.
That would be the better choice.
Well, I used to just think, you know, my whole, I don't know, the story I told myself, I guess, why I didn't get jealous was that, you know, well, let them do whatever they want to do. And I want someone that wants to be with me.
Right.
But I'm not really sure that was really the reason why. Maybe it was because, that's interesting, because I wasn't really enlightened at that point in time. So looking back on it now, maybe it was more that I didn't care. I wouldn't get jealous because if they find someone better, then I don't deserve to have someone anyway.
See?
You know,
that's justification for how you felt about
yourself.
That's
probably more
self-fulfilling prophecy
in line with what was going on.
Interesting.
And then I ended up self-sabotaging it anyway, but
yeah.
But you know, it led me here.
Thank goodness.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
So to communicate well.
What else do you have on your...
Be understanding rather than understood.
Yeah.
I have situations, life outcomes. I got all kinds of notes here, but I think that the main thing was just how to effectively communicate. And I think one thing that I've heard and I like is the concept of, well, they don't get it. Well, they don't understand. And learning how to communicate really well on a one-to-one level and with myself has helped me, I think, communicate better in my profession and all other areas. Because my thing is, I need to understand what their language is.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get it, then I'm not explaining it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't understand, then the problem's me. It's not them not understanding. You know, it's not that they don't see my vision. It's that I'm not explaining it correctly. And everybody learns differently. And everybody communicates differently. And I learned that in the restaurant business. You know, I'd walk up to a table and some people would want to just chat away. Or when I was a bartender, you know, and some people just want to be left alone. And, and you kind of immediately get that feel. And so you kind of adjust how you communicate and how you take care of people based on.
Body language is a good, good sign.
Like face-to-face communication. You know, is
the most effective.
I know.
I know it is with our almost 3-year-old granddaughter because I can't understand a word she says on the telephone.
Yeah.
But when I'm with her and I can see her talking, I pretty much know what she's saying.
Because she's usually pointing at something too, right?
Well, I can just tell. You know, you can lip read,
right?
I can kind of.
I can.
She's in her body language. I can, well, I don't know. Can you? I can.
I can't with that pop filter in front of your face.
Yeah. Ooh. It's pretty interesting, but thank goodness I have a son that will
interpret
what she's saying.
She said.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I have stickers or something.
Yeah, shout out to our son tonight.
Yes.
Wherever he might be. Hope he's feeling better. Hope your back is better tonight.
All right. Well, I think that is probably...
I think we're good.
You think?
Still waiting on questions, topics.
Yeah.
For all of you out there that
yes.
want us to talk about something or want us to shut up even. That'd be fine too.
775-234-8373.
Again?
775-234-8373. And... call that number up, and if you actually go to my website and look at one of the...
Are you, even if you have a comment.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you go to my website and look at any of the podcast episodes on there, at the top there's a navigational link that says podcast. You can go to a podcast, and if you go to the actual podcast episode, the latest ones, there's a kind of an icon down towards the bottom that's a Google call button thing, Google Voice, and you can click on it and it will connect you for free.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So you don't have to remember the number.
It's still free within the continental U.S., I think.
And that's jaredacres.com.
Yes, it is.
Or .com.
Jaredacres.com. Jared Akers, JaredAkers.com. JaredAkers.com. Okay, enough shameless self-promotion there. So thanks for listening, and I'm going to go digest these ribs. And we got a lot of TV to catch up on. We
have a few episodes that we've missed this week.
Well...
Yeah.
A bunch
of good stuff.
Emotional stuff.
Yeah. Chick flicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. God bless. And remember to, be honest, be loved, and be happy.